Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the most comforting things that we see when we read or hear the Gospels, those records of the life and works and teaching of Jesus, is the willingness that Jesus has to perform miracles. In fact, the great compassion that he has for people who are in need of his miraculous care. We see Jesus' power in all those frustrations that enter people's lives as they come and request his assistance. Whether it's a request for the healing from a withered hand or healing for eyes that have never before seen light or for ears that have never before heard a sound. Or even when there was a host of demons possessing a person, that so many that they would fill a whole herd of pigs and cause them to rush headlong over a cliff and to drown in the sea. None of those frustrations or difficulties or challenges was too much or too powerful for Jesus' healing and restoring hand. We also see as we read the Gospels that Jesus didn't even have to be physically present with someone in order to be able to work miraculous healing. Think about the time that the Roman centurion, an officer in the Roman army who was not a Jewish person by ethnicity, but who knew about the true God from his time there serving in the Roman military there in Judea, who believed in Jesus, that Jesus was the Savior that God had promised to send. And so he asked Jesus to heal his servant who was sick, and he said, "Jesus, I know it's against the custom for you to come into my house. You don't have to do that. Just say the word right here and now, even from a far distance, and I believe that you can heal him." And in response to that man's request and to his statement of faith, Jesus said, "I've not found such great faith in anyone in Israel." As we read the Gospels, we see that Jesus wasn't going around intentionally looking to show off his miraculous power as he performed miracles, but he was usually quite ready to answer those sincere requests of the people who came to him for help. But then we come to what is kind of a very shocking reading that we heard just now from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 15. A mother comes to Jesus on behalf of her daughter. Much to our surprise, Jesus doesn't have anything at all to say in response to her request at first. And then in addition to his own silence, the disciples try to send her away because she's just annoying. She keeps following us and calling out after us. Now, if we could have spoken with her at that moment when she got nothing but silence from Jesus and when Jesus' disciples were encouraging Jesus just to get rid of her, we can imagine that she probably would have expressed to us the great frustration that she felt in that moment of having her request apparently rejected by the one whom she trusted, whom she believed would have compassion on her and her daughter. We can imagine her perhaps thinking, "Jesus, you've done it before. I know you can do it again now. Why won't you do it? Please help me." Really, that's why we pray to God, because we know that he's done it before. We know that he can do it. We've heard the promises about his almighty power, his ability to do anything that we ask, that we see repeated again and again in the Bible. Think about the words of the angel Gabriel announcing to the Virgin Mary that something that was just unthinkable would soon happen to her, because, as he said, nothing will be impossible for God. And as Jesus was later teaching his disciples, and he told them how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, going against everything that they that they thought they believed, that being rich was a sign of God's blessing upon a person, and so therefore those rich people would certainly be the first to get into heaven. But Jesus tells them it's impossible. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven by their own merits. And then Jesus told them, what is impossible for people is possible for God. And to the man who was possessed by a demon that made him unable to speak to the father of that man, Jesus said, all things are possible for the one who believes. Now the woman who cried out to Jesus that day believed that Jesus had the power to do what she was asking him to do. But at least initially, he seemed to turn a deaf ear to her pleas for help and mercy. Think about that. Could there be any greater frustration in life than having the one who we know is able to do something not even be willing to listen to our request for help? It would be as though there was a great and famous, brilliant scientist who had discovered a cure for cancer, but then finding out that he's simply not willing to share that miraculous cure with the many millions of people who are stricken by that terrible disease. Many people, when faced with that kind of rejection, with that kind of frustration, would simply give up faith. What's the good of having a God who won't do the things we ask that we know he's capable of doing? Many people feel that a good God would simply take care of all their problems. And if their problems aren't being taken care of, well, then maybe that means that God is actually not able to take care of those problems. Or maybe that he is not actually good and loving. And in their frustration, they might go and seek another God or simply abandon faith entirely and believe in no God at all. But the evidence that our Christian faith is based on is overwhelming. God is God. God is Almighty. This is the God that the Canaanite woman that we read about still has faith in, even in spite of that seeming initial rejection from Jesus. From the title that she used to call out to Jesus, she makes it clear that she believes that he is God and that he is good. She calls him Lord, Son of David. Now, as you may know, that word Lord in the Bible could be similar to the word Sir in English, or the equivalent term in other languages, Señor in Spanish, or Herr in German. It could just mean Sir, so it could just be a polite form of address. She's saying, Sir, please help me. But then she calls him Son of David. Son of David, which shows that she believed, she knew and believed the promises that God had made through his prophets in the Old Testament. The promise that God had made to King David that one of his own descendants would be the Savior of the world, who would be God himself, reigning eternally on David's throne over God's people forever and ever. So even though this woman wasn't a Jew by ethnicity, nevertheless, she had knowledge of the Savior that God had promised through the prophets of the Old Testament. Now think about that. At this time, not even very many Jews, people of Jesus' own ethnicity, God's chosen people who were the heirs of all those promises and of the Old Testament scriptures, the writing of the prophets, not even very many of them would come out and call Jesus Son of David, openly confessing their faith that he is the Messiah, the true and eternal Son of God the Father. But this non-Jewish woman did just that. She trusted that Jesus is her Savior. She trusted that Jesus could take care of her problem if he was willing. But frustratingly, at least at first, he didn't even seem willing to listen to her request. Now, faced with that kind of rejection, some people would simply turn away, convinced that maybe there was something wrong with their own faith, or perhaps with their request, or the way that they made that request. Think about that, and maybe think about your own experience or the lives of people that you know. That so often people find or look for or try to identify the cause of God's seeming rejection of their prayers in themselves. They might say to themselves or to someone else, I know that God can do it, but I'm not good enough. I haven't lived the right way. Too many times I've skipped opportunities to hear the gospel or to serve God. So now I know that this is my punishment. I haven't lived the way God wanted me to, and so now he's just simply not listening to my prayers. Maybe you've heard people say that before. Maybe you've even thought that yourself before. Sometimes it's when people are suddenly, unexpectedly laid up in the hospital with a serious illness or an injury. Maybe it's when their children drift away from the faith or rebel openly against them and against God. Maybe it's when they've had financial disaster or marital difficulty, when they've lost a dear loved one. The bottom line of this thinking is, I know I deserve to get a cold shoulder from God because of all the terrible things I've done, because I've not been faithful to his will for my life. And so that's why God doesn't listen to my prayer. And that's why I don't even bother praying to him anymore. When that happens, when we have that attitude, we've lost sight of the example of this Canaanite woman and the lesson that Jesus teaches through this event. Not only did she know who Jesus was, she also knew who she was. She knew that she didn't deserve to come to Jesus or to have him answer her request. And Jesus, in fact, told her as much as he tested her faith. Even though Jesus is the Savior of the world, and even though the gospel message of salvation is for the whole world, both Jews and non-Jews, Gentiles alike, yet, as Jesus explains it here and in other places, the mission that he had been sent on was to primarily minister among the Jews, because they were God's Old Testament people who had been chosen by him to receive the promise that the Savior of the world would be born through their race. And this woman was not one of those chosen people. She was a Canaanite, a member of an ethnic group, most of whom were worshipers of false gods, not the true God. And think about the way that Jesus referred to her in that metaphor that he used, comparing the Israelites, the Jewish people, to the children of the household, and comparing non-Israelites, including her, this woman, to dogs in the household. Dogs under the table. Think about that. If you were on the receiving end of that kind of comparison, well, that would probably have dashed any hopes that you had of your request being granted. But yet this woman did not give up. She was willing, in a sense, to argue with God. She was convinced that Jesus could do what she asked, and that he would. And she knew that she had no right to ask, and she knew that there was no reason that she should deserve such kindness and goodness from God. How dare, then, would she continue her pleading? Really, how does anyone dare to make a request from God? Because we're all sinful. By ourselves, we have no merit, no worthiness, no reason that God should hear and answer our prayers by ourselves. But when we can't make a request from God on the basis of what we deserve, we simply make our pleas on the basis of God's own mercy. And that's exactly what this woman did. She called out, "Have mercy on me, Lord." When we come to God in prayer, we never come from a position of entitlement, presuming that we can make any demands of God. Think about it. If we demand justice from God, well, then we better be willing to submit ourselves to God's completely impartial and righteous justice. Who could withstand such justice? But if we are willing to beg for God's mercy, then we find God to be a merciful, loving God. And that was the plea of this woman. She pled for mercy, totally undeserved by her. Mercy, not asking for riches, but only for the crumbs, the scraps that fell from the table. Knowing that even those crumbs from the Almighty God's hand are treasured for those who receive them. Because we know the value of God's mercy, just as that woman knew it, then like her, we also keep repeating our requests, our pleas to God for his help and assistance, even as the Lord may wait for his own time, for the proper time as he knows it, to answer our requests. Hearing the words of Jesus, that woman's faith in the Almighty God, in the merciful God, was confirmed. God does indeed do what is best for his children. And she was assured that her case was heard. The anxious moments of waiting were passed. Finally, her request was granted and her daughter was healed. But do we dare to take her example and make it our own? Here we can answer with a bold yes. Amen. It shall be so. Just as the Apostle Paul wrote in the eighth chapter of his letter to the Christians in Rome, he said, "Indeed, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him?" The Apostle Paul is saying that you want to know whether or not God really is a merciful God who will hear and answer your prayers to him, then look at that fullest measure of his grace and mercy that he displayed on Calvary. Let the blood that Jesus shed for you there willingly wash away any doubt that you may have. A God who is willing to go to such lengths, to such pains, to take care of your spiritual needs, is certainly not going to ignore your physical needs. Now, he may not give you the answer that you want, or he may not give you the answer that you want right away, but he invites you to boldly repeat your requests to him. It's for your good, then, that at the right time, God will give it to you. You know the one to whom you are praying. You know that God is the Almighty God, the ruler over the whole universe. And you know on what basis you are praying to him. On the basis of his own son, Jesus, who gave up his own life to save you. So don't fail to pray. Don't fail to pray boldly and persistently, as this woman in Matthew chapter 15 did. James wrote in his epistle, his letter in the New Testament, chapter 4, "You do not have because you do not ask." Far too often in our lives, we're ready to say, "I don't have because I asked once and God was silent. He didn't answer my prayer. He must not care, so I won't bother him again with my request." Well, the truth is that too often we're just simply too lazy to repeat our requests to God. And so we often end up losing out on the treasures of God's mercy. Take the example of the one who knew whom she was asking, this woman in our reading. She was asking her Savior, Jesus, the Almighty God of the universe. And then she asked again and again. And then at the right time, at the time that God knew was right, she received the answer to her prayer. You too have a God who loves you dearly and who wants to show you his mercy. So ask him boldly and trust that he will answer your prayers for your good, all for Jesus' sake. Amen.